You're listening to Imperial War Museum's First World War Galleries podcast, presented by James Taylor, head of the First World War Galleries team.
1916 saw an intensification of the war as both sides ramped up their use of artillery significantly in their determination to win. This was full-blown industrial warfare, total war. Britain's part in this renewed offensive takes us to the River Somme in France, where they joined the French army in a side-by-side attack on the Germans. Paul Cornish, a member of the First World War Galleries team, describes a rather unassuming exhibit from the galleries, which tells an extremely important story.
One of the objects we have on display is the artillery plan for the Somme. Now, Britain was going to use an unprecedented number of guns, 1,500 guns, which were supposed to be firing for 5 days at the German defences. This was actually extended to 7 days in the end because of some bad weather hampering matters. So the idea was that they would bombard the German lines and the German trenches and give the infantry an easy task when they eventually attacked. What we have is a large, basically typescript table on a large sheet of paper with stamped at the top, secret in red. And what it does is divides up the British artillery into different types of gun and then tells you what they're supposed to be doing on each day of the bombardment at what time. So some of them will be devoted to firing on German trenches to destroy them. Some of them were devoted to firing at barbed wire entanglements to try to destroy that. Others will be doing what was known as counter-battery fire, which is to try to destroy enemy artillery. The artillery plan is very important because its failure is what sets the scene for the terrible first day of the Somme.
Most people are aware of the Battle of the Somme, at least that it led to deaths and casualties on a large scale. But perhaps not everyone is quite as aware of what exactly went wrong.
The plan went wrong before it even started, in the sense that the French became deeply engaged with the defence of Verdun, where the Germans had launched a surprise attack in February of 1916. So most of France's military power was devoted to saving the fortress of Verdun. Therefore, Britain's part in the Battle of the Somme became more important. Many of the men who were going to be used in this battle were the volunteers of 1914 and 1915, who'd been formed into what was known as the New Army or Kitchener Army. So for most of these soldiers, it was going to be their first taste of action. Everybody's heard of the disastrous first day of the Battle of the Somme, when there were 60,000 British casualties, 20,000 of them killed. And fundamentally, this disaster occurred because the British artillery did not have the power or the experience or the training to mount a successful bombardment of this sort to prepare the way. There still weren't enough heavy guns for a start. Also, it was found out afterwards that about a third of the British heavy shells had failed to explode due to the fact they'd been manufactured very hastily.
This wasn't all. Disagreements amongst the command also played a part.
Another problem was that there was an argument within the British high command as to whether they should attack only the German first line trenches or whether the fire should be spread over the deeper parts of the German position. This was what was eventually insisted on by the commander in chief, General Haig, because he was determined that there would be some sort of breakthrough and that we weren't just seize the first line trench and stop, we would try to break through the German positions in that area. So that diluted the firepower still further.
It can be difficult to remember that these orders were carried out by real individuals. Amongst the items on display are some photos taken on the personal camera of an officer from 55th Brigade. Taking photos on the front wasn't allowed, though many people did. However, as Paul explains, these particular photos are quite rare.
This is most unusual in that they are photos taken in the heat of action. One of them shows men of the brigade, we think they're about three different regiments mixed together, taking shelter behind an earth bank during the height of the fighting. And the second one shows men in a German trench at the end of the day, because on this part of the line, which was the southern part of the British attack on the first day of Somme, where the British were in fact attacking more or less alongside the French, there were quite a lot of successes, and indeed this particular unit achieved their objectives by the afternoon of the 1st of July and were ready to go on and advance further, had there been any orders given to them to do so. Unfortunately, the orders didn't exist.
Next to these photos is a letter which shows that, in the British Army at the time, the opening of the Somme battle was not seen as an unmitigated disaster.
We also have displayed alongside a letter written by Sir Walter Congreve, who was the commander of the corps, which included these men, and he calls it a perfect day. I'm proud of my splendid fighting troops. And this letter, in fact, he wrote to his son, who was an officer in another unit on the Somme front. Congreve already had won a VC, and his son Billy was going to win one on the Somme, but was killed in the act of doing it.
Other examples of correspondence are displayed, which give an insight into the experience of the officers and men fighting on the Somme, and into how they faced up to the strain of battle.
In the Somme area of the exhibition, we have three contrasting pieces of correspondence to show that. One of these correspondences deals with Brigadier General Frederick Carleton, who was a British general who was actually sacked from his command because his commanding officer did not believe that he was sufficiently aggressive in carrying the fight forward. In fact, we have the official letter stating the reasons for his dismissal, saying that present conditions are difficult and require characteristics in a brigade commander which are not provided by General Carleton, i.e. quick practical methods of command and a cheerful outlook which will communicate itself to the troops. Poor old Carleton was utterly shocked by this, and we've got a letter which he writes to his wife, and it starts with the words, "Darling Gwenny, I'm going to give you the shock of your life." And he goes on to put his side of the story, and he says that we were ordered to do something which was a physical impossibility. But it just shows the pressure that, you know, it wasn't just ordinary soldiers who were under pressure to keep going on the Somme and keep attacking, but the commanding officers too were under extreme pressure to keep moving forward. The postal service was very good, so you knew that that letter was going to get to where you were going to send it. You know, it might get there as fast as the news might reach the newspaper. So if you said you'd just been in a big fight and left heaps of German dead, then your loved one was getting that information as quickly as she would get it from reading it in the paper. So Brigadier Carleton, showing his shock at being, as he put it, Stellenbosched, he's almost there in the room with his wife breaking the news to her.
Items in the collection can take us from deeply personal to highly symbolic moments in this famous battle. As Paul describes, a helmet in the galleries reminds us that the battle was fought side by side with the French, quite literally.
We are displaying a helmet worn by the French soldier who was the closest to the British forces on the first day of the Somme. So he was the man who was advancing immediately on the right of the last British soldier on the British right flank. He was named Béranger, that's his surname. We don't know anything more about him, unfortunately. We have his helmet, which was preserved because of his position in the battle. We do know that his commander, who is called Commandant Le Petit, walked towards the German front line when the attack occurred with his arm linked with that of the commander of the neighbouring British regiment, which was the 17th Liverpool Regiment, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Fairfax. We don't normally in Britain think a great deal about the French contribution to the Battle of the Somme. Nevertheless, the French who fought there were actually very successful, had some of their biggest victories of the war so far they won on the Somme. Largely this was because they were more experienced at fighting this sort of battle than we were. They also had more and better heavy guns. So their artillery support was very good. We're hoping to make plain the fact that Britain did not fight alone on the Somme, and it was an Allied battle. And one of the reasons that the Somme battle went on so long and that we kept fighting it, despite not having made a breakthrough, was that this was all part of an Allied plan, which had been agreed between France, Britain, Russia and Italy, and they were all attacking on their own fronts.
Another group of objects here tells us about a central part of the British soldiers' experience, which has now been largely forgotten, although its results can still be seen in homes and in museums all over the country.
One not so obvious aspect of the Battle of the Somme is that it afforded the biggest opportunity yet for British soldiers to do something which they are almost all utterly devoted to, and that was sending or bringing home trophies and souvenirs. We've got a case which contains a number of souvenirs ranging from firearms to German helmets. German helmets were certainly the most popular thing. The German spiked pickle, however, was certainly the most popular and sought-after trophy of the battlefield. But soldiers would basically pick up anything. I mean, the most normal thing would be the spent nose caps and fuses from shells which had exploded, or other shell fragments, because they were very easy to get hold of. And there are also plenty of photographs of them having come out of action, men wearing German helmets, brandishing German bayonets and rifles and pistols, even communications equipment that they pulled out of a trench, or even quite frequently dogs, which had been German mascots and which were now had joined the other side after being captured by British soldiers.
The First World War galleries at IWM London are open now. Find out more at www.iwm.org.uk/ww1.